Gang, nice to see you. I appreciate that we're in phase two. Now I get to see 25% of you. Oh, no, that's per building. I'm sorry, I made a mistake there. Don and Donna, thank you. That was lovely. Yeah. I've been trying to figure out, Norm, what my best 25% is. I can't figure that out. That's all behind me. Too funny. Okay, so a couple of things for announcements. Just don't forget we have prayer time here at 1 o'clock on Mondays and Saturday night here at 7. Why do I say 2? Because we've got the Zoom. Sorry, thank you very much. Thank you for changing that for me. 2 o'clock. Thursday night, our study time at 7, and we're studying Proverbs. So we invite you. I trust you all had a happy Canada Day. You don't look much older, but maybe a bit wiser. I don't know. And Phil had his 70th birthday this week, and so I just wanted to acknowledge that milestone. You deny it. I deny it. So a very happy birthday. When I found out it was your 70th, I was going to do a drive-by, but yeah, that's really what it was all about. Yeah, so thanks for asking. Okay, a couple of anniversaries. Many of you remember the Lois. They're down in Port Colborne. They have their anniversary today, and Andrew and Andrea have their 10th anniversary coming up on the 9th. And John and Monique, a very happy anniversary to you on the 10th. So the Lord bless you. Have you got any plans? Has he told you anything he's going to do for you? Or
getting your second shot.
Getting your second shot, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the family that stays together takes their shots together. That's, yeah. Yeah, we got ours yesterday, and they let us go in together and everything. Oh, you're together? You can, oh, that was, I was so thrilled. I said to Jane, this is such a lovely date. Oh, but anyway. Okay, so we've got some notes for prayer. And fellas, you put them up, so super. Richard, give us a little update on Suzanne. She's home, so give us a little update. So welcome back, and so give Suzanne a call. She's gonna be glad to hear from you. So as you can see, we've had a busy week. We had the gang arrive on Friday. So in a minute, I'll show you the latest edition, Andrew, if I could show and tell. That'd be okay. Felicity is 7, and TJ is 5. And Monica is 6 months. You want to bring her up, son? So there'll be more show and tell after the service. We'll meet out in the outside the church. What do you say? So anyway, they're here for a couple of weeks with us. So just pray for Jane and I. Well, you forget what it's like to have little people. Well, I'll tell you, my grandson came up and he hip-checked me, but he's so short he took out my kneecaps, didn't you, DJ? Oh, I'm going to hear about that later. They're a great bunch. So they made Andrew, tell everybody what you made yesterday at our place. Because we've got all these moving boxes, so my son decided to put them to good use. Oh, it was your idea. Oh, okay. Yeah, so we got this huge box maze in our backyard. If any of you would like to come over, it's fun. I'll guarantee you'll only do it once and you'll be done. But Jane did it, and we all did it, and it's. How many of you remember making box mazes? Come on. How many? Did you ever make a box maze? Seriously? Did you ever hide in the refrigerator box after your parents? Did you ever make trains or anything with cardboard? Or did you, Kathy? Oh, thank the Lord. The rest of them all had stunted upbringings, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, oh, man. Okay, so you got to come over and see the box maze, and we'll put you through it. Anyway, so, and John, a friend of ours, he needs prayer for some health issues. Shauna is hoping to sell her house and move to Meadow Villas, so we hope that works out for her. Her place is very tall and a lot of stairs, so she's hoping to to be down to much like the Clarks. And Anne is asking prayer for her mom and dad. And Anne is also not feeling well today, so we're going to pray for her. And Catherine DeBoer has not been feeling well, and so we should lift her up. Jeff, of course, we found out has shingles, and is pretty young to have that, and so it's been a lot of pain for him. And then Colin and Marg's friends that they've known for, I don't know, 50 years, Bob passed away. So that's been hard. And then I was talking to Cavell, and Bob's got the tumor just by his carotid artery, and they don't want to do surgery because the carotid artery is weak. So they're looking at doing radiation. So it looks like he's going to have to go down for 8 weeks and for two sessions per week. So Cavell was hoping they would do it back-to-back just for her trying to drive. So she's pretty tired too. So we'll pray for Bob and Cavell together. Before we do notes of praise, is there any other things we need to pray for? Any other prayer requests? Anything? Okay. For praise, Donna, your sister... has had the cast, and she told you she's in a lot less pain. Is that right?
That's right.
She's doing much better. So, well, we'll pray for Louise, definitely. Of course, Dorothy, I didn't realize Dorothy and Paul Bingle knew Bob's family, the friends of the Baileys. So that's affected their family, too. And so here's those two fellows are in glory about the same time. That's kind of neat. Noros, everything's copacetic. They're now living, they're gone over to Mom's place where they're going to be living for the next couple of years over here at Stonebridge. So we'll look forward to seeing them soon. And Don and Steve have arrived back and they're in quarantine over at Tojo's. So I think they're out of quarantine this week. So we'll probably see them next week. So any other notes for praise? Okay, let's go to prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity we have to worship you, to take time to just think of the things that you've done for us this week, ponder the greatness of who you are, and the reality is that you are in charge and running this world, and your creative genius is all around us. Lord, this first full week of July is, as we head into this new month, that you would lead us. We do pray for our country. In the midst of all they're going through, as we've just had Canada Day, Lord, would you sovereignly rule over every aspect, federally, provincially, municipally, county-wise. Lord, there's a lot of people that are very stressed out and very, very frustrated. And so, Lord, we just appeal to you for this country. And Father, for our families this day, we lift up each other. All the issues that our families are going through, many of them have health issues, upcoming possible surgeries, radiation. Others are just feeling sick. Others have to take COVID shots. There's all kinds of things that are transpiring, and we just need to know you're with us and that you're strengthening us. And Lord, for all the answers to prayer, we never cease to be amazed at what you do and how you work. And so, Lord, bless each and every one of us this day. May your will be done in our lives and on this earth as it is being done in heaven. We thank you now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Team, would you come, please?
And you're always there for us. You're right here in the midst with us, Lord. And Father, we just pray for Pastor John right now as he is bringing the sermon. Give him the words you want him to speak and open our hearts and our ears to hear and listen and learn what you want us to learn and apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, team. I just remember when we used to listen to the hockey game on the radio. Remember Foster Hewitt?
Yep.
Good evening, sports fans in Canada and Newfoundland. All right, you remember him? Oh, I'll tell you. When Foster came on, I'll tell you, you were ready to listen. So I've got a question for you today. Phil, just turn me down a little bit, could you please? What's in your hand? What is in your hand? I like what you got your hand on. You stick, keep your hand on that boy's hand. I like that one. Yeah, don't let go of that. Yeah. But what's in your hand? I mean, we've been talking about who's your daddy. We've been talking about who's your family. Now the question is, what do we actually have that the Lord can use? And I want to start by a very familiar parable, and you'll remember it well from John chapter 6. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand, and lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming towards them, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" Jesus had said this to test Philip, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered the Lord, "There's 200 denarii worth of bread would not even be enough for each of them to get a little." And then one of Jesus' disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what? What are they among so many?" I mean, you talk about unbelief, and these are the people that walked with Jesus. I mean, I don't feel so bad when I have days of unbelief, because the reality is, I'm not seeing him every day in the sense that these fellows are, and yet even though he said, "Okay, what are we going to do, fellas? I don't know, and whatever we got, it ain't much." How many times do you and I, though, look in the negative? How many times do we look and go, "Well, I don't have much. I don't seem to be anything in my hands." I mean, we're focused on limitations, not expectations. We're focusing on impending crises, not miracles. We're looking at the next sense of stressors instead of peaceful things. We're looking at, I think, very often things that, this virus, look at how it shut everybody down. Well, yeah, but look at all the things that are happened because of the virus. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said, "You know, I have 3 hours of church now." Now, for most people, you can barely get them through an hour. But it was interesting. He said, "I get my 3 hours of church. I watch this church, this church, this church, and the great news is I get to stay in my pajamas the whole time." I told him once the church opens up, he could still come in his pajamas because everybody's going to come anyway. That's what they're used to wearing. But the reality is we look at all the limitations. We look at the things that aren't happening. "Oh, I wish I could give my kids a hug. I can't give my," you know, instead of saying, you know, "It'll be marvelous to be able to give somebody a hug." Again, the reality is, well, I only have what? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Well, if you looked at that in your hand, what would you naturally say? "I don't have much. I don't have much." Now, I don't know about you, but if I had my lunch, how quickly do you think I'd want to share it? Oh, let me ask you a question. If you had your lunch and your mom had packed it for you, how often would you want to share it? Now, I want to draw a conclusion here that some of you may agree with. My mother used to seem to make the same kind of sandwiches all the time. I mean, she only had about 41 slices of bread for the 6 of us, slathering stuff on it and butter and putting some lettuce. But we had those pimento meatloaf or those macaroni and cheese. That's the closest thing I came to early death as an 8-year-old. And you know, what was amazing to me is I was always looking to trade. But there were never any takers. But the reality is, at the end of the day, was I ever glad I had lunch? Was ever glad I had my mother made me a lunch? Of course, when we all got to high school, she gave us the privilege of making our own lunches, which was lots of fun, because somebody would be trying to get in the fridge ahead of you, grab the mayonnaise ahead of you, and where did the ketchup bottle go? But it was, but we had our lunch, didn't we? But the reality is, how far does 5 barley loaves and 2 fish really go? Unless you see what God sees. And so I want to ask you today, what's in your hand? First of all, who gives us what's in our hand? Think about it. Who gives us everything that's in our hand? The Lord who gave us the hands in the first place. And isn't it interesting that Matthew 25, it says, he was like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and trusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. What does the Lord do? He gives us different abilities, gives us different talents, and to a certain extent, there may be different numbers. Is that because somebody's better or worse than somebody else? No. Because I don't know about you, sometimes all I can handle is 1 talent. I don't want to use it well. whatever that talent is. And so the key is, in the things that God has given us, whatever talents he's given us, five barley loaves and two fish, where does your faith really lie? Are you looking at the one who's given you these things and is planning to what? Multiply them, isn't he? Now, we could bury our talents, correct? Isn't that where the Lord got upset? I gave this fella something, and he went and buried it. He didn't go out and see it multiplied. So there's a practical aspect with the talents we've got. God expects us to what? Use them, not just hide them. But as he said, here's where our faith lies. Ephesians 3:17-20. Christ, who dwells in our hearts through faith, we're rooted and grounded in that love. We have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what the height and length and breadth and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to what? Do more what? Abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Where's the power working? Within us. And it's where? Coming out through our hands, or you could figuratively say through your mouth, or through your eyes, or through your actions, or whatever. That's the reality. God has made us his ambassadors in the world, to people who need his love and his reality. Now, the next question before we even talk about the five barley loaves and the two fish is, do you believe that God can actually use them? How many of you have said, oh, I can do this, but you know, I don't really think it's got any purpose or any meaning. I don't think it's relevant. How many times have we done that? Oh yeah, I know how to sew, but you know, like what can I do with that? Or yeah, I may know how to play the piano, but I may know how to sing, but so many times, who's our worst enemy? We are. We're putting ourselves down, and God's going, cast your bread on the water. And you're going, I only got five barley loaves. What do you mean cast it on the water? If I cast it on the water, I'm absolutely convinced it's going to sink, or at least get waterlogged. And so our brain, I think, plays all these kinds of games, when what God is saying is, do you believe that I can use what I've given you? Because I don't give nothing. I give something every time. Paul even said it, that when it comes to God, he is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. So in a sense, whose responsibility is it to do what needs to be done with what's in our hand? It's God. He takes and multiplies it. But let's go on for a second. So I want to start with a little story, because here is an illustration, I think, that will really hit home when it comes to what you have in your hand. This is a story of Hattie Mae Wyatt. In 1912, she was going to the Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia, and she was just a little girl. She was maybe 7 or 8 years old. The year was 1912. Her pastor was Dr. Russell Conwell. Because the Sunday school was overcrowded, Dr. Conwell had told Hattie Mae that he would love to have a building large enough for everyone to attend. Well, Hattie Mae thought that was a great idea, and she decided she was going to help Dr. Conwell. Well, it turned out that not too long after that, she became quite ill, and she passed away. And so Dr. Conwell was asked to preach at her funeral. And after the funeral, the girl's mother told the pastor that Hattie Mae had been saving her money to help build a bigger church. Hattie's purse contained coins amounting to 57 cents. 57 cents. How many of you remember these things? They're called pennies. Do you remember these? Do you remember these? I managed to squirrel away about 8 of them, and so I found 4 of them. She'd save 57 pennies. What Dr. Conwell did is he took the coins that amounted to 57 cents and he took each and made it into a penny. And he had 57 pennies. What he did was he put them on display and had them sold, with the proceeds A nearby house was purchased for a children's wing for the church. Inspired by Hattie's story, more money came in, and out of her 57 cents eventually came the buildings of Temple Baptist Church, Temple University, and Good Samaritan Hospital. 57 cents. That's what she had. Those were her five barley loaves and two fish. So, can the Lord not do far beyond what we could? Is the Lord not the multiplier? Is he not an incredible mathematician? Does he not know what to do? So, I got a question for you. So, just what's in your pocket? What's in your... Just take a minute. So I pulled out a few things. So I've got a name tag. This is the name tag I wear at the food bank. And that name tag allows me a conversation with people, and they know my name. And what do you think happens? Every conversation has a God-directed moment in it. I've stood out in the parking lot many times, and I've prayed for people absolutely desperate. I've had people come back months later and say, Pastor, I just want to tell you that Lord has worked in my life, and I'm actually giving money now to the food bank. It could be a name tag. Put your name tag on. These are McDonald's gift cards. They're $5 increments. And Jane started this a while ago. Andrew in Ottawa. Yeah, so anyway, so 6 ideas later, we got the idea, okay? And the idea was that Jane has a bunch of these, and whenever we're in situations like we're having to buy online shopping things and people bring the food out from Superstore or everything, and we feel they've really gone above and beyond, what do? We give them a little coupon and say, thank you, be blessed. Well, you'd think you'd given them $1 million. Little $5 coupon. Do you have a pen? Could you write an encouraging little note to somebody? Put it in the mail? How hard is that? Well, Pastor, my writing's not very good. Well, get your keyboard out. Send something to somebody. Catherine DeBoer is on a fixed income. She read an incredible book on Bible prophecy. So she told me 2 weeks ago, Pastor, I've ordered a book from Amazon. I want you to give it out. Anybody in the church can read it for free. That was in her hand. So if you'd like to read it, Richard Pearson has written this. It's a very recent book. You're welcome to read it. I'll just leave it right here. What else is in your hand? You got a mouth? How many people today need words of encouragement? How many people that you talk to and I talk to are so negative, I don't even know how they're getting through their day? I've been taking a lot of blue boxes to the dump. Boy, when you're trying to downsize and you're trying to move, I'm amazed at what you don't need. And so I go into the blue. I'm getting to know the lady in the little booth at the dump on a first-name basis. She goes, oh, John, blue boxes. All right, our words of encouragement. What else you got in your pocket? Well, you got a wallet? We paid back behind us one day going through Tim Hortons. Just pay for the person behind me. Just tell them I just wanted to buy their coffee. At the end of the day, what have we got? But what's that among so many? You know what? We don't have to have $1 million worth of these. We just start with one and see what the Lord will do with it. At the end of the day, who's in charge of what's in your hand? Who's giving you the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish? Now, here's what's fascinating. If you look, I'm going to have the fellows put up John 6, 12, and 13. And when those people had eaten, 5,000, remember, not counting women and children, okay? So we're looking at possibly 15,000 people from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. When they had eaten their fill, so how much is that? That's like buffet. By the way, don't get me going on that. He told his disciples, gather the leftover fragments with nothing, that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. So the boy who gave his lunch got to see a miracle. That boy, for the rest of his life, is never going to forget that day he went to hear Jesus speak, and he was part of a miracle of feeding 15,000 people. Do you not think every time he would have eaten his food for the rest of his life, he would have remembered the fact that he gave his lunch to Jesus? Now, I don't think Andrew wrestled it out of his arms. Kid, give me your lunch. That's all there is to it, and I'll beat you up. I think he said, hey, could I give this to the master? And the boy said, yeah. And there he is watching 12 baskets of food being collected afterwards. Think about it. How many times have you and I done something in the name of the Lord, and years later even, there's been repercussions that were miraculous? 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And now I want to end with the story of Frances Havergal. Frances, she didn't live very long. She was quite sick. And of course, in her day, there was no treatment for what she had. She had some major colon issues and things. Of course, today she would have been treated by antibiotics and would have survived. But she was a young lady, though very sick, decided she would study languages. And so she studied Hebrew and Greek, and she also studied several other languages as a young woman. She then became the author of many helpful books in her day. She was a brilliant singer and a pianist, and a glittering secular career awaited her. But she decided that everything she had, all her talents, her 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, were on loan from the Lord, and she was going to just give them back to him in his name instead of making a name for herself. And so what she decided to do is she decided she would start writing sacred music, and her hope was that in the writings, people would what? Come to Christ. She was an early evangelist in the truest sense of the word. She lived a life that was earnestly devoted to all the things that would help her deepen her faith and be a greater witness to other Christians. And so one day in February of 1874, Miss Havergal was a guest in a home where there were 10 other people. Some of them were not converted, and those who were converted, in her words, did not seem to be very happy in their faith. A great longing came over Miss Havergal that all 10 of them might, before she left, come to know her Savior as joyfully as she did and be assured that they really knew him. She began to pray for them every day that she was there in that home. The last evening of her stay came, and all 10 people had either come to Christ for salvation or entered into a new joy of their salvation. She was so ecstatic at what God had done while she was there that she could not sleep that night. She was beyond sleep, and she wrote a song that we call, Take My Life and Let It Be. Family, what did she have? She had some musical abilities, and she asked the Lord to multiply it. And we're going to sing this song this morning, one of the great keystone songs of the Christian faith through the 1800s and 1900s. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. So family, before we sing this together, I just want to pray and give you an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm just examining again what's in my hands, and I would like to use it for your glory. Would you multiply it for your honor and glory? So let's pray. Father, we've been given so much. We have so many blessings. And Lord, sometimes we're very negative about our lives, the things we can't do, the things that we're not equipped to do. Instead of saying, Lord, you've given me 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. How can I use them? And Father, for some this week, it may be they're going to go into their kitchen and they're going to bake some cookies. And they're going to make some deliveries. For others, it may be making a phone call because they know of somebody who's very discouraged. Lord, it may be they're going to take the time as they walk around their street one of these evenings and just chat with neighbors. Lord, you may impress them to do something financially. Maybe they know of somebody who's struggling, or a missionary, or or someone who needs a care package, and they'll send that on its way. Lord, you may inspire them to pray for somebody very specifically. Lord, we don't know what you're going to do, but we all have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And so we ask that you would use them, multiply them, because, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. And we want to see men and women around us, one for the cause of Christ. Lord, we may not have much, but you multiply it. And we'll commit ourselves to serving you this upcoming week to the best of our abilities. So thank you now for what you're doing and what you're going to do. Because, Lord, I want to be like that little boy who watched them collect those 12 baskets of fragments and realize that that miracle had far exceeded the expectations of everybody but yourself. Lord, I want to be part of the miracles you're doing today, and I'm sure all of us would want to be the same way. So thank you now in your powerful name. Amen and amen. We're heading out into a very busy world. We need your wisdom. We need your discernment. We need your direction. We need your love. And we need a great sense of what you've given us, the talents, the gifts that you want us to go forth and in faith see them multiply. And Lord, I pray that there's going to be a rich harvest because each of us are committed to focusing on what you want in the sphere of influence that you've called us to this week. So bless each and every one that's here, those that are listening, and may we sense your presence. May we have a great peace, and may we have a great determination that you're going to take our 5 barley loaves and our 2 fish and work miracles in the week to come. And we thank you in advance. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.